JG 1. Number 24A.
All right, so how it happens, we're going to see in more detail when we actually take the law. But right now on page 50, it's just setting up the structure of the law of the Christ order, giving us a little thumbnail sketch, so to speak, of what's going to happen. If we resist this wonderful self-organizing, non-linear, spontaneous downward thrust of the law of the Christ, if it's resisted, it says here, it's going to act as a pessimistic arrow of time. So there's nothing so wrong with the pessimistic of arrow of time. It finds its place within being. You can almost call it divine entropy. It's taking away that which it doesn't need. It not only presents what it is, but it takes away what isn't needed. In scientific obstetrics, you know, she says it will never injure our useful surroundings, but it's going to remove properly whatever is offensive. That's what we call, they see there is a pessimistic arrow of time called the law of psychodynamic entropy in the world. But as a symbol, we could say this is now our divine entropy, our divine pessimistic arrow. It's going to take away what we usually like, but what we don't need. So it's going to make an upward causation through the law of the phase transition. We're at the point of mind in the upward flow. If we, that idea that came to us, if it finds in us this dark, dark, dark transparency of the first degree in beliefs, see if it doesn't find idea, but at this point it finds beliefs of the first degree, it's going to analyze those beliefs. The first step is to analyze them. And it's going to say, oh, I find the belief of spiritualism, that big belief of reversal, that belief that principle can be turned into its opposite, that our life can be turned into the life subject to birth, maturity, and death. Anything that says that it can be, any situation can be reversed. That's based not on comprehension, but on ignorance. You see, all those opposites of mind. Either mind comprehends the idea when it comes, and then it's in still an absolute Christian Science, or that mind is so full of beliefs and ignorance, it's going to analyze that belief, which is the root belief of mortal mind is reversal. And then at the point of spirit, at the second degree, it's going to purify that by uncovering human qualities, unfold the good in us, begin to make evil beliefs disappear in us, or any resistance against the appearing of that idea that is opaque begins to be uncovered. The good qualities begin to become uncovered. We begin to respond. We're starting to respond till finally at the point of soul, the transformation takes in of the third degree and we have been transformed and subject and object is one. So if the Christ comes and finds a transparency, fine, we stay at the standpoint of absolute Christian Science. If not, we have to go through that law of correction and purification and transformation in order to make subject and object one, the phase translation. And most of the world is in the phase transition. The sciences are in the phase transition, coming from a physical explanation of science on the first degree to a much more mental explanation of the second degree into a spiritual explanation of the third degree. Where we saw Mrs. Eddy says, all science is divine. It's all God. There's no physical science. And this brings out and takes away the physical explanation and brings out the scientific explanation. All is of the nature of spirit. It's not matter. This comes and corrects the belief that there is another substance besides spirit going on and brings out spirit. It comes to everything. It comes to philosophy. It takes out the belief of the logical positivists in a materialistic, mechanistic type of philosophy into a much more morphogenetic type of philosophy, much more based on the human mind and morphogenetic fields, finally into the divine philosophy. Every field goes through its transitional stage, to its phase transition today. If it isn't of the science of God, everything goes through it. Everything and anything goes from the physical explanation into a mental explanation into a spiritual. It's that easy, but it's all going through that phase transition. Alright, now we go on then. We've seen the little thumbnail sketch of the Christ order. Now we go on to the bigger view on page 52 in the study guide. It's just a few pages forward from where we were. And that gives us now a full-blown view of the Christ order. Now, what we want to do is we take a look at the various points that are being shown here. And first of all, we see that it's under the law of translation and re-translation or reformation. It's really the office of translating the divine to the human, so to speak, or from principle, manifesting itself as a divine holographic image. So that's why you will see there, of course, the first column are the synonymous terms under consideration. If we take the first column, one will see that that divinely subjective view is because it's first God, truth, coming to the individual. So it's talking first about the subjective God, which is life, truth, and love, is going to objectify itself as a divine idea or divine hologram or the right idea for a specific situation through the order of soul, spirit, mind. The whole Christ order hinges on soul. Soul is that which makes subject and object one. Soul always is the hinge of the Christ. You know that in the thousand-year periods, when you come to soul a soul, in the days of creation, it turns to the Christ. In the days and in the thousand-year period, that's when that changes from the Word to the Christ. So we have now that whole subjective view of what principle is coming and objectifying itself through the synonymous term soul, spirit, mind. That's the first column. Then you see the second column, it's all under the divinely subjective objective view. And that divinely subjective objective view is then the flow of divine principle, as we said, where principle is the I, which is subjectively knowing itself about what is going to happen, and the objective, you could say, is what is happening. So it's, again, the divinely subjective power, God, bringing forth what it has to bring forth through its objectifying powers. What we'll see is that the whole Christ is under a power tone. Everything has to do with power. Because Christ is that power, the inner dynamics, which we call self-expression, but really it's the Word expressing itself. It's the inner dynamics in the Word that has the power to manifest itself to every single situation. Therefore, that then, these are the power tones behind the synonyms. This is how God presents itself as that dynamic flow. The next column over, the next two columns over are under a human standpoint. It's how the divine then has its impact on the human. What we do when we let that divine power happen in our life, and what we do when we resist that divine power. What we do when we let the code of life into our life that's coming via the Christ power, that divine code that came as the word, that's within being, that's programmed for success. What happens at the bifurcation point when we're smart enough and transparent enough to let that information code into our life, or what happens usually through ignorance that we resist it happening. So this therefore is the overall structure. Now, if we then take a look at, we know the first column is then set up according to the Christ order, as on page 115 in the textbook, where principle, life, truth, and love at the point of soul, spirit, mind objectify themselves and bring forth the idea into experience. Now we'll start with that second column of the divinely subjective, objective view, and we're going to go vertically down the second column. And we'll see then, because this is the operation, the dynamics of the Christ and its translation and retranslation and its downward causation. First of all, in the downward optimistic arrow, principle's always optimistic about what it's going to accomplish. We only call it pessimistic arrow when we don't like what it's optimistic about, you see. So the downward causation is optimistic, and principle says, okay, I'm so optimistic and I'm so happy about what I am going to present to you as the goal causality, as your success mechanism of what's going to make you a success. This code that I have ready in the Word now is going to come to you. I have a Christ that will bring it to you. But I bring it to you according to my own inner nature, according to my own power source. And my nature is the power source. And so therefore, as principle, I appear as the potential power in your life. I appear as the latent power just waiting to express itself. The accentuation here is on principle, because that stands for God. And so I, God, principle, the truth, I'm just there like a potential power in telling you I'm there, I'm waiting to be expressed, I'm just waiting to bring forth that code. I have everything within me to bring forth the code. I, principle, have all the power. You, personality, have no power. You can't make a success out of your life. You can't make the success mechanism work. I'm the one with all the information. I'm the one with the whole truth and nothing but the truth. I've got that code right in the principle of being, and I'm going to use my nature's life, truth, and love to bring it out. And therefore, my potential power now is set to work as life, which is a symbol, as a dynamic power. That within my potential power, principle says, I'm life. I'm a dynamic power. I'm a kinetic power. I begin to move. I begin to bring my potential power into action. So potential power now is brought into action. And this is the potential to bring forth the code. And truth says, I, principle, am truth, therefore I am also that conscious power. I am the power of consciousness. I am the power of consciousness because I'm aware of the whole truth that I want to bring forth. I know what I want to do, and I'm going to bring that forward. And in love, it says that I am a total engaging power, that I am going to engage myself in every single situation. I'm going to bring that genetic code, that power of the success mechanism to everyone. I've got the code for everyone, and I'm going to bring it to everyone. That word isn't just for us specifically, it's for everyone. It's for the universe, including Earth, including all mankind. So now it's going to begin to engage that law of success to everyone. But how it adapts itself uniquely to this specific situation. So everyone's going to become part of that success mechanism. I pour it in on everyone, but what's incredible is that I'm going to adapt it to everyone's situation. It'll appear differently and meet the need of everyone differently, but it's the same word coming to all, the same law of the success. So I'm going to engage myself everywhere. Nothing's going to miss the opportunity. I'm going to be totally engaged. I won't be half-hearted. I'm not going to decide, well, I'll shine today on India and not on China. Or I'll shine today on the Earth and the galaxy of the Milky Way and not on some other galaxy somewhere else that the people on Earth don't even know about. It's going to do it in a universal, collective, and individual way. I'm not half-hearted about it. I show no favoritism. Then we see that that principle as a potential power and a dynamic power and a conscious power now objectifies itself. It now begins to happen, and we have that break from the subjective to the object. And soul then says, I'm the power of identification. That total engagement now I'm going to bring everywhere. I'm going to translate that principle everywhere that I can in a situation. So soul is that power of identification, that translating power. It's going to bring that total engagement everywhere for the reason of making the subjective view in the objective one. It's going to make what that principle has in mind brought forth. So what it has in mind is going to be objectified, so what it has in mind is manifested, so the subjective view and the objective view become the same. That's how this thing hinges on soul. Does it through the identifying power of soul. But we say, fine, soul just says, I'm going to do it, and how is it going to be done? Spirit says, I'm that control hierarchy. I'm the boss. I'm going to control this whole ordering process. I'm going to make sure that that code comes to every single specific situation through the control hierarchy of, first of all, I take that code now, and I'm going to diversify it, spread it out everywhere, that the law of the word. I'm going to classify it in every single situation, so every classification gets it. And I'm going to make sure that every single individual idea within every single classification gets that plan that's needed for them. I'm going to control it through my hierarchical ordering. And then mind says, all right, and I have the power to manifest that code that comes as the individual solution everywhere. I manifest it in every single situation at the proper place, so until the idea is understood. Now, if every single situation in the whole universe, including man, understands and comprehends their goal and what's necessary for them, then that's fine. The power is happy and it goes back. It has done its job. That's Absolute Christian Science. It hasn't left the standpoint of Absolute Christian Science, and the individual idea has been manifested. But how often we know does that idea come and is it understood and accepted without really any difficulty? Not often. But if it is accepted, then what happens is that from the human standpoint, the idea says, okay, I'm going to let this manifest itself in my life. So from the human standpoint then, we let it happen. That divinely standpoint now comes, and humanly we say we're not going to resist this. Therefore, that principle, which is a potential power, it comes in our life as a divine authority. And we let principle in as the authority of our life. We're going to let that plan come in. And we're going to take it as our authority. And we're going to let the dynamic power of life come in, bringing to us the information code. And that is going to be come to us spontaneously as a generating experience in my life, and I begin to feel the generating spontaneous newness, somehow beginning to feel the newness of that information that's coming to me. I start feeling generated, renewed, as the information comes. I begin to feel that new things are happening in my life. And and oftentimes we can't define it. We always say, gee, I feel something new is going to happen. We begin to feel this generating power starts generating, and truth as a conscious power. We begin to feel, life. And then truth as a conscious power, we begin to see that it starts dominating. That new feeling begins to dominate our life. Things begin to become more conscious. We're beginning to be conscious a little bit more of what's happening, that something new is breaking in on conscious, some kind of a new plan. And love, as we accept the power of a total engagement, we begin to feel, I'm going to begin to feel the power of salvation. Something's happening in my life that is going to save me. I somehow feel it's going to happen. So as we begin to let that saving sense that we feel is coming to us objectively, then it begins to manifest itself. It's becoming more and more definite through soul. The identifying power becomes more the transforming power. It now becomes more the dry land experience, and it begins to transform us, that we begin to feel that a transformation is happening in our life. And at the point of spirit, we begin to experience a separating going on in our life, a power of purification. We seem to be being separated in our experience from one experience into another experience. We don't quite sometimes even know at this point what is happening. We just know that suddenly we're going from one situation into another situation. It's at the point of mind where that manifesting power comes in as an enlightening power. We say, I get it. This is what's happening in my life. I'm programmed for success because of this idea that's coming to me. I should do this in the business, and that's why I was taken out of this business into this business. Or I see now this is why this was going on in my life. It's because this is the goal causality. This is the reason. This was the plan. I see the plan. I acknowledge the plan. And the plan is manifested. And so we're happy because we comprehend the plan and it has enlightened us, and we feel that enlightening power, and we're happy about it. It leads us forward. Now we see, if we don't flow with this plan that came, we're going to get the plan anyhow, whether we like it or not. That force feeding, whether we like the plan or not, it's going to be jammed down our throat, so to speak. We're going to have to take it, whether we think we're trying that cod liver oil is being jammed down our throat. Remember that old remedy they used to have for cod liver oil? Open the mouth and a little kid had to drink their cod liver oil. Gosh, thank goodness those practices, I'm sure, are out, huh? So anyhow, whatever it is that has to be swallowed, whether we like it or not, the Christ must happen. So therefore, it'll happen, but the power that's going to make it happen is on that last column. If resisted, then that potential power of principle which is the divine authority in our life anyhow, whether we let it in, it's now going to appear in our life as an apodictical imperative power. We can't resist it. It's an imperative force. It is going to, regardless, make itself known in our life. We can't get rid of it at this point. It's going to happen. It's already decided. Principle says, I've got you, and now you're not going to get away at all. It becomes an imperative factor. It says, I was nice. I came to you as a divine authority. But if you're going to be a little rough about these things, I'm going to get a little tough. And that's where the Christ gets tough. It says, I wound to heal. It doesn't fool around with us any longer. It plays with us up to a point, but when we resist, that's where Mrs. Eddy said, the Christ wounds to heal. We get the sword. And we know the sword. We get the divine whack on the bottom, don't we? The spanking, quote unquote. It does spank. Only if we resist. So it says, all right, you turned against me. You're going to get it. And it says, and you're going to get it through the dynamic power of life is bringing spontaneously with all the force and generating power in the world. I come to you and I'm irrepressible. I've got this generating power and I'm just pushing on you. And this is where the Christ must come. It's irrepressible. You're not going to miss it. I am irrepressible. I can't be repressed. I'm going to come. I must come. Too bad. I'm coming. And at the point of truth, it says, I'm that conscious power. I'm penetrating. I have so much dominion. I'm going to grind to powder everything in you that resists. Is that nice? We say, that's, I feel some evil forces going on in my life, you see. That's in the Bible where it says, I've come and it grinds it to powder. You know, in the Minor Prophets, that's the words it uses. You know, I've come to grind and it grinds everything to powder. And it does. It grinds and grinds. This is the divine grinder. We're the image, and it grinds on us and grinds on us and grinds, grinds. It crushes and crushes and crushes and crushes. Does it leave anything left? Always the remnant in us. There's always a remnant in us. So it's only grinding to power, the resistance. And the more we go against it, the harder it will grind. And it comes now as an enforcive of power, grind, grind, enforce, enforce, and we're feeling something going on. We call it what? We call it suffering. We call it being ground to powder. We call, I'm going through hell. What's going on in my life? All this suffering, all this hell is going on in my life. I'm such an angel. Why should I suffer? I'm so good. Why am I suffering? Remember, we can fool some of the people, some of the time, all of the people, some of the time, but never the Christ all of the time. All of the time, it knows exactly what we're like. We can even think we're little angels. And you know, we do. We always think we're okay. It's the next one who has personal sense. It's the next one who isn't any good. It's the next one who has all the problems. It's always the next one. I know myself. Everybody else is awful. I'm fine. We polish our halo every day. We're convinced we're okay. And yet we go through all this hell and suddenly realize, well, I guess maybe not so good after all. So you look inside and begin to notice within consciousness that which has personal sense, that which has revenge, that which has some quality that it doesn't want to give up, because from the first degree it's convinced it's justified for it. Regardless of what goes on in our life, we came to save, we came not to judge. Even if we judge it, the situation through self-justification, and everything seems to stack up that we're right to be able to be vindictive, Christianity says, no, I came to judge, not to save. I've got to flood this whole situation with love. Even Dorley said, the enemies, flood them with love. Flood everything in the universe with the law of the success mechanism. See everything as a divine hologram. Behold the perfect image. At this point, we're suffering because somewhere we're not doing it, but we always think we are. The suffering's for a reason. The Christ is doing it.